5 years ago, I ended a 7-year relationship with the man I thought I would marry. Got pregnant with a man whom I had only known for a month, and started dating a Republican. Thus began my journey back to God. This may sound like the beginning of a joke. In fact, it has caused me to laugh out loud on more than one occasion, and cry on a few occasions too. But this is really what happened. And it has been an experience rich with lessons. Amidst the turmoil, anxiety, heartache, I have found peace. I haven't held on to peace. All the difficult things still exist. But I have learned to trust and to listen and to come back to peace again and again. This has been a very conscious effort on my part, but the results have not come purely from my hard work, but by grace. This is the only way I can describe it. I have not earned the good life that I have. I have worked to recognize the goodness in it, and I have been blessed to be shown the light, especially through the struggles. I see this as the grace of God. My image of God is still being defined, but God's grace is quite clear to me. Listening deeply to myself, to my loved ones, to those I disagree with, comes hard to me. However, I was forced to listen when everything I thought I was moving towards was uprooted and a life I could not have envisioned for myself replaced it. I have learned more in the past 6 years than I did in the 28 preceding it, and it all has to do with starting to listen to a quiet voice inside. I call this voice God. It started about a year before my long-term relationship ended. I had grown up Lutheran, but for the previous decade had lapsed into complacency, thinking, sure, God is out there. But through my 20s, that hadn't compelled me to live my life any differently. As I was reaching the end of that period, I had the good fortune of befriending someone who was deeply spiritual and peaceful, despite having spent his formative years at Mendota, diagnosed as schizophrenic. We would have long conversations, unlike ones I had with anyone else. He was exactly the person I needed to know at that time of my life. He recommended Eckhart Tolle's The Power of Now, and I listened to it on audio at least 7 times through over the course of the next year or so. I would listen to Tolle, and his words resonated with me. He would say, "Love is a state of being. Your love is not outside, it is deep within you. You can never lose it, and it cannot leave you. It is not dependent on some other body, some external form." And he would say, "Accept, then act. Whatever the present moment contains, accept it as if you had chosen it. Always work with it, not against it. Make it your friend and ally, not your enemy. This will miraculously transform your whole life." And lastly, "If you find your here and now intolerable and it makes you unhappy, you have 3 options. Remove yourself from the situation, change it, or accept it totally." These words resonated with me in ways that the God of my Lutheran upbringing never had. They seemed so logical. They spoke of the Jesus I wanted to emulate, not the Christ I had been told to worship. I began to recognize that God isn't out there somewhere or back there in ancient history. God is present in me and whispering messages to me that if I am quiet, I can hear. I realized I had tried to change my relationship without success, and I was unable to accept it, so I had to remove myself from it. This was the first big leap of faith I had ever taken, and it wasn't as romantic as it had always seemed to me. It was somewhat exhilarating, but it also felt insane and uncomfortable and scary. It led me into a series of uncharacteristic decisions, and I felt a bit out of control. However, during this period, I also began practicing meditation and deep inward listening. In my searching, I came across another reading that was particularly illuminating to me. I still come back to it often. It is called The Guest House by Rumi. This being human is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival. A joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they are a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture, still treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice. Meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whatever comes, for each has been sent as a guide from beyond. When I found myself pregnant a mere 3 months after I had ended my long-term relationship by a man who I barely knew and who decided to not be a part of mine and my daughter's life, it could have been cause for despair and shame. It was shocking, no doubt, and there was shame. This was not the way I had been raised. I wasn't that kind of girl. This wasn't how my life story was supposed to unfold. But do you know what blossomed from that shame? Compassion. I laughed with my guest's shame and I said, "Come in, teach me." I had never truly understood compassion before this experience. Through finding myself in this improbable situation and dealing with it mindfully, I learned compassion for myself and compassion for all women in a similar situation. Because if I wasn't that kind of girl and this had happened in my life, maybe they weren't either. This opened up my heart to realizing the suffering of all of us when we have an expectation of life and life doesn't go as planned. My image of God and my understanding of faith was evolving. When I was a child, I had developed my relationship with God through church, confirmation, praying as I had been taught, and debates with my Catholic best friend. But when questions went unanswered, and there was no one around me who could explain the parts of God I didn't understand, simple things, like why the church lied to us about when Jesus' birthday was, and harder things, like why bad things happen to seemingly good people, my faith slipped amongst the confusion and doubt. Now, as an adult, I was learning to rely on the voice inside myself for the answers, instead of an authority figure in the church. I realized that although people could be vessels that God could speak through, I didn't need to listen to authorities to understand. I was also that vessel. Now, let me tell you about my Republican boyfriend, because I know you're all curious. Putting my partner's political affiliation aside for a moment, in him I found a man willing to date a woman who was 3 months pregnant, without a second thought. That kind of acceptance from a virtual stranger who was signing on to the possibility of helping raise this child was astounding to me, especially at that vulnerable time. I decided I wanted to know a person like this. That unconventional beginning has evolved into a relationship that is rich in love and has presented numerous opportunities for growth in both of us. Most of these opportunities have been more interpersonal, but politics is one of the areas that extends beyond our relationship. Because I love and respect my partner, I have had to listen deeply to the beliefs he holds and why. And it has forced me to constantly reevaluate my own stance and ask myself those same questions. What I have learned is that neither of us is right about everything, and that being challenged by someone who is respectful and loving, but dubious about our rightness, forces each of us to articulate our beliefs. We often don't get far in swaying the other person's opinion, but I have gained an appreciation for seeing the issues from a different perspective, and recognizing that perspective is not coming from a place of ignorance or hatefulness, but is another way of viewing the world that is often reasonable and plausible. There have even been times that I've had to concede that his approach may yield better results than mine. I see God at work in this too. In order for me to love everyone, as I feel I am called to do, I have to listen deeply. Beyond our clumsy efforts to effectively communicate with each other and see the heart, which for me is the essence of God, that lies beneath the difference in opinion. For my boyfriend and I, that means sometimes looking past our political difference of opinion to the fact that we both want good for people, and we are doing what we think is best to achieve that. For others, it may mean looking past the difference in how we present ourselves to the world, whether through appearance, attitude, or language, which is informed by our race, upbringing, and economic standing, and filtered through our thoroughly imperfect beings, to see the heart that lies beneath that. God is teaching me in little ways that force me to grow and encompass more all the time. Each of these experiences is a small snapshot drawn from the beginning of this journey that started 6 years ago, and that I am still on today. But each of them helped me to start down the path of listening, which is something that I am still working on with varying levels of success every day. I still listen quietly inwards for 15 minutes at the beginning of each day. Most days, it is enough to ground and center me. Some days, some weeks even, my internal chatter is too noisy, and I can't hear the quiet whisper of God through it. I try not to be hard on myself on those days. I have carried that lesson of compassion with me. I have learned that in order for me to keep practicing compassion towards others, I first have to practice it on myself. I spend a lot of my time listening and reminding myself to listen to my partner and my children. Since these are the people that I am with day in and day out, and they are the people who have been chosen for me to travel most intimately through life with, I figure they have a lot of lessons to teach me. However, I experience a constant struggle around taking care of myself, taking care of those closest to me, and taking care of everyone else. They often feel at odds, and I find that I often fail at all three. When I can't figure out what to do next or how to take care of anyone, then I stop. When I stop working so hard, when I take time to meditate and pray and listen, when I focus on breathing and being kind towards myself and those around me, things go well. They often don't go where I think they will go, but they go in a direction that feels right. And I arrive thinking, why did I struggle so hard for so long? And I come here to read. I come here to listen to all of you on your individual journeys. I see how much we overlap, and I see people struggling with things I have learned to overcome and things that are not yet even on my mind. I sit and worship and listen to the joys and sorrows people share, and it helps me to feel connected to everyone and to remember that I am not the only one struggling and growing and celebrating. I come to Covenant Group and explore difficult concepts in an intimate setting and forge new relationships with my fellow travelers. I listen to all the efforts that exist at REEB and the greater UU community to move out into the world and be a part of something greater than ourselves and I see that I still have so much more listening and learning to do. And all of this gives me hope. I feel hopeful when I see how much I've grown in the last 6 years, and excited about what else I can learn and how I can serve. I feel hopeful when I see that the journey I am on is shared by so many others. And I feel hopeful when I see those who have been working harder and longer, or perhaps more skillfully at this than me, and that there is still so much more potential for my own growth and for our collective growth. We have not arrived, true, but we are on this journey. And although it is not always linear, it is always moving forward, and there is listening and learning and growth. God is within each of us, and God is whispering to us from inside and through each other. Let's continue to listen to that voice and follow it toward the greater good we are capable of. May it be so, and may we be so. Amen.